Good morning and welcome to Henderson's First Baptist Church radio broadcast from Henderson, Kentucky. My name is Chuck Henderson and I serve as the executive pastor here at First Baptist, where we strive to make disciples who are Bible-centered. We seek to proclaim the gospel and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mission is to develop generations of God-glorifying disciples who, in turn, make disciples from the community to the continents. And whether that's in person at our church or over the radio waves, that is our goal. If you have any questions about God, salvation, or general information concerning the church, please connect with us through the internet at www.fbchenderson.org. That's www.fbchenderson.org. We would love to connect with you. But on behalf of the people at HFBC and our senior pastor, Sam Hinkson, we are so glad that you are joining us today. Here is our broadcast for today.
As we sing of the mighty fortress that is our God, we lift our voices.
A mighty fortress is our God. Our help are ye amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing.
Holiness of God. We worship Him now.
Who else commands all the host of heaven? Who else can make every king bow down? Who else can whisper in darkness tremble?
Sing out, come.
Church, you can be seated. Thank you so much. Pastor Jacob, as he comes to lead us in our prayer, brother.
Amen. It's good to be a part of a church where we can celebrate the holiness of God together. And this is probably the easiest place to see that. One of the hardest places to see that is in school. When I was growing up, I want to just mention a few names of people. Mr. Franklin, Mrs. Dent, Mrs. Smith, Bud Pearson. None of you guys are nodding like, I love those people, because they don't mean anything to you. Those were the teachers and the bus driver who, when I was in school, I could look to as a person that was a safe place, who would remind me that we worship a holy God. Our church is blessed to have many teachers, many staff, many bus drivers who are a light in our community. Teaching students is a difficult thing. It's not an easy thing to do. There's not a lot of instant rewards. So we want to take a moment now, as school years have commenced, to recognize our teachers and to pray for our teachers, our staff, both in public school, private school, homeschool, old school, whatever kind of school you're in. So if you're a teacher in homeschool, or would you stand with us? If you're a teacher at school, private school, public school, anybody? We've got a few of you guys. Thank you, guys. Yeah. If you guys would remain standing, as a church, we're gonna pray for you. We're thankful that God's placed you where you are in our community. And we know that you've got a difficult task. So, church, would you join me in praying for them? If you're comfortable reaching out your hand towards them, or if you're close, if you want to do that. But together, let's turn our attention to the Lord and pray for these folks. Lord, you have called and equipped the teachers in our community, and we pray for them today. God, we pray for school teachers, the public school, the private school, homeschool teachers. We pray for bus drivers, cafeteria workers, support staff, custodians, resource officers, and all the other many folks who help our schools to be a safe place. God, we pray that you would watch over them. We pray that you will provide for them, that you would guide them this year, that you would sustain them. May you be their sun, may you be their shield, so that they might do the work that you have entrusted to them. And may they sense your care in these uncertain times. May they sense your calling to what they do. We ask that you would begin the work of evangelism as our teachers spend time with coworkers and families. Give them the boldness to speak of the goodness of God and of the gospel that saves. Now, as we give back of our tithes and our offerings, God, would you take what we give and use it for your kingdom? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated as our ushers take the offering.
Seen today in our acts of
sing out loud. Speak, O Lord.
Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchange from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, good morning, church. It is so good once again to be able to gather with you. I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 46. If you want to use one of our pew Bibles, you'll turn to page number 471 as we continue working through some of the psalms, the songs of God's book, the Bible. Psalm 46, where we read, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Psalm 46 is one of the, and in fact, it's the first of what are called the Psalms and the Songs of Zion. The Songs of Zion. There are about six or seven of these psalms peppered throughout the book of Psalms that are called Songs of Zion. But some of you might say, well, Zion, what does that mean? I know it's a little town just west of here, all right? But is that really what we're talking about? No, Zion here in the Bible is a very important concept. It is basically the place where God dwells. Zion is the place where God dwells. Sometimes that place is an actual city. So it's like talking about Jerusalem. That is Zion. Why? Because that's where God dwells. Sometimes it's talking about the people of God. These are the Hebrews, or these are the Jews, or these are the people of Judah. That is Zion. Why are they Zion? Because God dwells among them. Sometimes it's talking about that temple, that house that was built for the special presence of God. Why is it Zion? Because God lives, God dwells in the temple. What made the city? What made the people? What made the temple special? What made them Zion? Was one thing. God lived there. God took up his abode. He took up his residence there. God was present there, and his presence made them special. Today, those special places, there is no temple any longer in that place. Jerusalem is still there, but it's not Zion the way that it was back then. Why? Because God doesn't dwell there in the same way that he used to. Those special places are gone, but the people remain. The people among whom and in whom God dwells remain. God's people are today called the church. His people, the church, where he dwells. We are Zion, the gathered ones. That's why we get together every Sunday. When we come together, it's not the building that is Zion. It is us, the people of God, who are Zion. Why? Because we're so cool? Because we're so awesome? No. Brothers and sisters, the same thing that was happening back in Psalm 46 is the same thing happening today. What makes us Zion? That God is present among us. That God is present in us and through us. And what Psalm 46 tells us, with this song of Zion, what it tells us is that God makes the church a fortress against fear. He makes us to be a fortress against fear. Verses 7 and 11, kind of the choruses of this song that we read. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. But you might be saying, now Sam, listen, I'm not much of a biblical scholar, but what you just read there says that God is our fortress. Not us. But here's the thing about God being in and among us. The psalmist's point is that where God is, He makes His presence to dwell, is that when fortress God, is basically what he's talking about, we have fortress God living in and among us, He makes His people to be a fortress. He's present. In fact, He's more than present. He's more than just there. He is very present. Verse 1, our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That term, very, or ever-present, some of the translations say. It's not just talking, it's got more meaning to it than just saying, hey, he's always there, you can always count on him, right? He's just like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. No, it's more than that, okay? It's not just that he's always there, it's that he's abundantly there. He is really, really there. Really, really there. We all know that there is present, right? You've seen people eating at a restaurant, and they're together, they're present. Right? There's that kind of presence. And then there's presence. You see two young people, man, I mean, they're just losing themselves in one another. They're very present. What the psalmist is saying here is that God is not just there. Oh, yeah, I know he's there, but he's really there. You and I could say God is present everywhere. Where is God? Well, God is everywhere. Yes, but he is very present among his people. Charles Spurgeon, which I quote often, you know, but he says this. He says, but as for the Lord, he is present when we seek him, present when we need him, present when we have already enjoyed his aid. He is more than present. He is very present, more present than the nearest friend because he is in us in our troubles, more present than we are to ourselves, for sometimes we lack presence of mind. He is always present, effectually present, sympathetically present, altogether present. And this is why we, the people of God, the Zion of God, become unshakable. We are fearless because Fortress God lives and dwells and is very present among us and in us. And if Fortress God lives in our midst, he makes us to be a fortress, which is a declaration that we have to say to the world. So what does the very present presence, right? The very present presence of Fortress God produce in and among us, church? First Baptist, if this is this God that the sons of Korah wrote this psalm about, he's still our God. He's still doing the same things today that he was doing back then. If this very present presence of Fortress God is in us, what does it produce in us? And that's what I want us to look at this morning. God's presence fortifies the church to do three things that are laid in front of us here this morning. The first is to embrace a fearless imagination. To embrace a fearless imagination. Verse 2 declares, we will not fear. Doesn't that sound great? Don't you love to be able to say that? I don't know what's coming, or maybe I do know what's coming, but I'm not afraid. I will not fear. I won't be askeered, as they used to say. But the truth is, that is easier said than done. Because fear is a universal human experience. Fear was the first observable consequence of the fall of man. You ever thought about what Adam's first words after he had sinned and rebelled against God, his first words to God after that event happened are in Genesis 3, where it says, God comes and he says, hey, where are you, Adam? And he says, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid. I was afraid. How many times have we as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve had occasion to repeat that sentence over the course of the thousands of years that have followed that event? Lord, I was afraid. Friend, I was afraid. Mom, I was afraid. Dad, I was afraid. Son, I was afraid. You might remember the Charlie Brown Christmas special, right? And Charlie Brown's just trying to figure out what's going on with him. And so he goes to his good friend, Lucy, who is a counselor. She's got a counseling practice out there. And of course, she's trying to diagnose his phobias. She's like, you got phobias. You got fears of things. And so she goes through all these phobias, like, no, not that, not that, not that. And finally, she gets to this final phobia, which is called pantophobia. You remember that? Pantophobia. What is pantophobia? It's the fear of everything. He's like, that's it. That's what I'm afraid. I'm afraid of everything. Brothers and sisters, you and I might think, well, there's certain things we're not afraid of. We're not scared of. But I put you in the right situation, and man, it can produce fear in just about any one of us. This has been a result of the fall of man since the Garden of Eden. But here's the thing about fear, is that it is uniquely attached to the future. We are mostly afraid of what might happen. You ever thought about that? How much of your fears are attached to not what has already occurred, or even is what occurring right now? It's just thinking about the future. I'm afraid that might happen. I'm afraid that might go south. I'm afraid that might, I might get rejected. Why didn't I want to go and ask her out? Well, because she might say no. Why do I not want to apply for that job? I'm afraid that they might reject me, or that I might fail in doing that. But the sons of Korah are facing a future with a fearless imagination. And you say, well, I mean, what is it they're imagining in their minds? What are they laying in front of us? Truthfully, they're imagining things getting as bad as they could possibly get. I mean, look at verse 2. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. That's about as bad as it could get, okay? They're not just saying, well, you know, maybe my stock portfolio takes a hit. You know, maybe I get a little ill. No, they're like, listen, the earth is giving way, even though the mountains fall into the sea. Basically, what they're describing there is all the dependable things getting overturned. I don't know about you, but I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the earth. I just don't. I mean, the earth I'm walking on. I just count on the earth. I take the earth for granted. And I've beheld a lot of mountains. And I think, man, they're fantastic. I have never seen one fall. I've never seen one hurled into the heart of the sea. I would imagine if I ever did see that, I'd be a little concerned. These are stable, dependable things that don't move. They don't shake. I take these things for granted. And the truth of the matter is, you and I could go far beyond like the earth and the mountains and say, well, there's all kinds of things that I don't think a whole lot about that I just naturally depend upon. What they are describing, what the sons of Korah are setting in front of us, is the terror of unmovable things that begin to move. For some of us, that's the people we love and care about and are related to and depend upon. We don't even think about them being there, and then all of a sudden they're taken or they're stricken ill. Mountains don't move into the heart of the sea. The earth doesn't just give way. It's supposed to be the stable thing. It's supposed to be the thing that I can count upon. This is the imagination of the most horrible things possible happening. Even though the mountains are being hurled into, even though the earth is giving way, they say, we will not fear. Why? Because God is here, and He is very present. So I can imagine the worst things happen. And this, I don't want this to just be kind of like, oh, here's a nice little thing for me to tell you. Brothers and sisters, we can imagine the worst things happening. And yet if we can say that God, this fortress God, is here. He is among us. He is in the midst of us. You know, a dynamic that I have kind of grown to understand as I've grown older and just observed other people, we get more afraid as we grow older. When my daughter was really very young, we lived in an apartment. We had a little pool there, and she was under a year. She was kind of running around, walking, and so we go out to the pool, like, Abby, come on in, jump into me, and she just reckless abandon, she jumped right into my arms. And so you think as she gets older and she kind of, you know, I'd never dropped her. I'd never, you know, dunked her under the water. She never had any bad experience with her. But as she got older, I noticed, hey, Abby, come on, jump on in. And she'd start hesitating. I think, well, what's going on there? Why is she hesitating now when just months ago she would have not thought anything about it? It's because she realized, well, you know, water is dangerous, can be dangerous. Before, all she saw was me. She just saw her dad who was going to catch her. But eventually, at a certain point, she realized, well, there's my dad, but there's also the water, and I can drown in it. And she started having something else. She introduced something for her to be afraid of. Now there was something. Our imaginations are populated with so many fears. In addition, well, yes, God, is God this God? Yes, we'll sing this. We'll put it to lyrics. Lord, you know, He is our fortress. He is our shield. He is our refuge. But I've got all these fears. My imagination, man, it can run wild. Some of you have a great imagination for things going bad. Amen? You got a fantastic imagination. Many of us do. What I am urging us to do, what I think this psalm is inviting us to do, encouraging us as children of God to do, we need to get more of the fortress God into our imaginations. So we can imagine the earth giving way, the mountains being hurled into the midst of the sea, and yet we can say with confidence, we will not be afraid. Because God is my help in trouble, verse 1 says, my help in trouble. And trouble can get pretty, pretty hard. Fill in whatever you're afraid of there in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in. And then fill in, just instead of trouble, just fill in whatever it is you're thinking or dreading and say, listen, can I say this? God is my refuge and strength, my very present help in the midst of that. And child of God, it'll be true. He'll not only be present, He will be very present. So we need to embrace a fearless imagination. The second thing is that we need to experience a continuous provision. God's presence fortifies the church together to experience a continuous provision. Assurance of God's presence that I've just talked about is vital for the future, but we live in the present. We don't live in the future. We live in the here and now. And Psalm 46 assures God's people that He is continuously present. I'll just reread verses 4 and following. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters His voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Saying there that the presence of God is like a river. There's a river that makes glad the city of God, the place where God dwells. A river ever flowing, never ebbing. And I love rivers. I love Henderson. I love riverfront towns. I just have always loved rivers. And there's an old adage about a river. You never step into the same river twice. Because the waters just keep on flowing. They're new every moment, minute by minute. Just new river, new river, new river. And it just keeps on flowing. What a beautiful picture of the mercy, the power, the presence of our God. It's not just some stagnant pool sitting there. It's always there. It's always been. No, there's a stream. There's a river that makes glad the children of God, the city of God, the people of God, the Zion of God. Lamentations, a book of lament. In the very middle of it, it says this, His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. We aren't merely people who are expecting to find God to be faithful whenever that trouble comes, whenever the future comes to us. We need to have a testimony of we are not only expecting that, but we are experiencing Him as faithful today. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. The stream that I step into, the stream that I draw strength from. Psalm 46 gives us two pictures of God's provision. The first is this picture of God as a river that provides the needs of the city. And the second is waking up in the midst of this walled city. You're in the midst of a castle, right? This walled city, and you wake up one morning, and there all of a sudden you're besieged. The enemy is out there in the fields. They are set up. They want to destroy you. They want to bring the city down. And verse 5 says, God will help her when the morning dawns. And it says, God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of that city. He's right in the middle. Oh, church, our God is not just, well, He's way up there. He's high and holy. He's far away. But our God is in the midst. When he says he will help us in the day of trouble, he doesn't just send a cruise missile into the middle of our trouble. Our God is in the middle of our trouble. Jesus Christ didn't just kind of say, hey, I'm going to give you a couple of missives. Jesus Christ is God with us in the flesh, came into our time and space continuum. This is absolute dynamite. This is the God, the promise of, that God's people have. I am here in and amongst you. Turmoil can often clarify what is at the center of our lives. He says, God is in the midst of her. He will be there in the morning. You wake up and you see that you are besieged. And he is in the middle. But some of us find that Jesus or God is not really at the center of our lives. And sometimes crises can bring that out. We find that we have a statement of faith, but we don't really have a Savior. Or we've got religion, but we don't have a Redeemer. Or we've got good intentions, but we don't really have a God. Brother, sister, friend, I want you to know this. The mess that you're in the middle of is less important than who is in the middle of you. The mess that you are in the middle of is less important. The turmoil, the trouble, the difficulty, the adversity is less important right now than the God who is in the midst of you. God is within her, verse 5. She will not fall. Why? Because of the continuous provision of God's presence. Do you want to gain courage? Not merely for the future, but right here and right now. Then look for your provision in the right place. Many times the reason, and I'm not just preaching this at you, I'm preaching this to myself first and foremost. You know where I'm most likely to look for my assurance? My pocketbook? My money? My relationships? Stop looking to your pocketbook to make you secure. Stop looking to your husband to take care of all your problems. Stop looking to your wife to meet all of your needs. Stop looking for a change of job to make you happy. Those things may or may not happen. God is within her. She will not fall. And it says that he lifts up his voice. He cries out. He begins to give command. Listen less to your fears and listen more to the word of God. You know, we've made a lot about D groups and like small group. One of the reasons for that is it's getting us into a relationship with the word of God so that we can really hear him. I'm glad you come here on Sunday mornings. Please keep on doing that to hear this and sing this and gather together. You need more than that, brother. You need more than that, sister. Because your fears are always talking. Your turmoils and your troubles are always talking. You need the word of God. You need to hear the voice of God raised out over the redoubts of your embattled city and to say, hey, I am still here. I am in the midst of your city. And often what we're listening for is not something new. Most of the time it isn't. It's for something that needs to be renewed. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It's repeated 7 and 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Christian, let me invite you to experience the continuous provision of God. And you say, well, what does that actually feel like, Sam? Well, it feels like trusting God to fight for you. Trusting God to fight for you. In those verses, the Lord of hosts is with it. You know, as we just kind of jump right over, the Lord of hosts. What does that even mean? The Lord of hosts. The host of what? The host of the armies of heaven. You know, America's got a lot in terms of like military power. It's nothing compared to the armies of heaven. The Lord of hosts is with us. Remind yourself, O Zion, O church of God, that God is with you. Remember where he says, Paul says, or David says, I will fear no evil. You're with me. Remember where Jesus said, I'm going to be with you even to the end of the age. We are called to experience a continuous provision from the Lord. The final thing is this. God's presence fortifies the church to extend a serious invitation. So I portrayed the church, or God's people, or Zion as a city surrounded by this besieging army. And so you might think, hey, the prescription is, what God is calling us to is just to kind of hunker down, be inwardly focused, just waiting out the attack. Just let them send their missiles. God's here. He's in the midst of us. The redoubts are strong. We got plenty of water. There's a stream that's making us happy. And so we're good. But then comes verse 8. An invitation. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Church, this is an invitation to witness. To come, to see, to hear, to experience. And friend, there are many beautiful and fascinating works that God has wrought in the world, and I want to try and set those things in front of you, the beauty of all that God has made, and give attention to those. But here what you will notice is that the emphasis and what you are being called to behold is different. It is not those beautiful works of God, but what we might call the terrifying works of God. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to end to the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. The summary is this. God has made his people a fortress because this is a world at war with its maker. But that war has an end, and the result is not in doubt. I don't know where you are with Christ right now. I don't know what your relationship to the church is. Very likely some are just like, I'm not all that invested. Not really committed. Not really something that I'm into. Friend, come. Listen. See. See and behold the works of God. Understand that this world will not continue to go on the way that it is. Understand that things will not continue to stay the way that they are. Come and behold the works of God. And you might say, well, where am I supposed to go and see that, Sam? We would call you to look at the Word of God and hear the Word of God and receive the witness of the Word of God. Read about how many emperors and armies set themselves against God Almighty, against the Lord of hosts, and God humbled them. Preeminently, God came, and the preeminent power of the day of Moses was Egypt. There was no army, no culture more powerful than Egypt. And God humbled them. How many empires and kingdoms have risen and fallen since the time that the Bible was written? There's no Roman Empire anymore. There's no Assyrian Empire anymore. There's no Egyptian Empire or Persian Empire. I could go on and on and on. The number of empires that are no longer around. And yet, here we are. Here the church is. Come, behold the desolations that the Lord has wrought on the earth. Come and see. Come and be warned that this world will not continue to go on the way that it is now. And child of God, hear the words of your God in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. Concentrate. Be still. Oh, 21st century American, this is a word for you. Be still. Quiet your heart. Quiet your mind. Stop with the endless distraction. Ask the question, where is God? He is right here, but many of us are too distracted to see it. Please take the opportunity that is right in front of you. And friend, I would just say to you right now, things are relatively quiet here in this sanctuary. Not a lot of things going on, just my voice just calling you to think. Take a moment and ponder the end of your life. and ask the question, are you ready to face the unblinking judgment of Almighty God? Are you ready to stand before this God? Now, you have two options in front of you. One is to say, well, Sam, you're just a scaremonger with an ancient mythological book that is trying to scare me into kind of making some sort of a commitment. That God doesn't exist. Okay. That's an option that you have in front of you. But there is another option, which is that the Bible is reliable. And what it describes is true. And the realities that it describes are even now currently working out in our present and on into the future. And God promises that what He has done in the past, He will do in the future. It contains, friend, a warning and an invitation. A day is coming when bows will be broken. A day is coming when spears will be shattered. A day is coming when chariots will be burned. And the Lord says, I will be exalted among the nations. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. I look forward to that day. Many people sitting around you, I can't tell you how we long for that day. But as we long for that day, there's also a kind of a little fear inside of us, or something that, pricks us. And it's the fear that that day that we will long for and our deliverance, where we, the God who is in the midst of us, will reveal Himself, that best day for us will be the worst day for you. And that's why we would give you this invitation. Come. Come. He is a refuge to all who would seek refuge in Him. Come into the presence of our fortress, God. Psalm 46 inspired the hymn that we sang earlier by Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Just want to remind you of some of the lyrics. A mighty fortress is our God, a refuge never failing, our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe, He seeks to work us woe. His craft and power, they're great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth He has no equal. If we in our own strength confide, our striving will be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask, who might that be? Christ Jesus, it is He. The Lord of hosts, His name from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. Christ Jesus, it is He. Friend, are you beset by fears? Christians, we have fears, but here's the thing, is that we have a refuge to retreat into. For you, the truth of the matter is, you have no such refuge. God is either present in your life, or He is not. And the avenue of that presence coming into our life is through Jesus Christ. It is He who brings this fortress God into our lives. The first time He came like a lamb. But when He comes again, He will come like a lion. And I would plead with you, don't take these things lightly. Don't take this warning lightly. As a preacher of the gospel, I know this, that there will be some who will stand before God's final judgment, and they will be brought, what will be brought to their remembrance is times when they sat in a place like this, and they heard a warning like this, and they ignored it. They ignored it. Please, come. Behold the works of God. He's not only brought desolations, praise God, He has brought salvation through Jesus Christ, who may be found if you will seek Him. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we come before You right now asking for You to awaken our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray for your people who are buffeted. We all are buffeted by many fears and dreads. And I pray and ask, Lord, that you would help us to embrace a fearless imagination. Not because the things that we dread are less terrifying, but Lord, because you are present in the midst of us. But finally, I just pray, Lord, that you would, or that maybe it is, has been your plan, this hour, this moment, right here and right now, to break through the complacency and the distraction of a man or a woman or a boy or a girl here and wake them up to their peril. Friend, what does it matter if you gain the whole world and yet you lose your soul? I would ask you, Lord God, I ask that you would help them to close with Christ. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. I want to ask you to stand in this time of response. For many of you, there's a text that you can send, Pray HFBC, in order to like just continue a conversation with us about something that maybe you were uncertain about or you wanted to try and get some follow-up about or not knowing what the next steps were. That may be the best way for you to respond and to reach out. And so I just want to encourage you, if that's you, do that. Send that text and we'll get back with you. But this altar is open. This time is free for you to come and pray as you will right now. But however the Lord leads you, you respond to him.
Run to Jesus.
amen to that. A few things as you are heading out the door this morning. First is I just want to give a shout out to our tech team. They're one of those like invisible ministries that you don't see or hear. It's kind of like offensive linemen in football. You never hear them unless something's going wrong. But man, they are so vital to what we do around here. And for those of you who volunteer and help out with that, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you and thank you for that. Final thing is that tonight, we're continuing our series in our holy sexuality. Just got two more nights in that. And tonight we're really looking at trusting God for who and what you are. Like being able to kind of trust God for how and what he has made you. And I think that's a huge issue for us today. And so I want to try to help us to think through that. Trusting in how the Lord has shaped us in our lives. And so I invite you to come back tonight for that. So you go, and in the peace and the strength of the Lord, Fortress God is in and among you.
The preceding broadcast is a ministry and property of HFBC. Please feel free to share it with anyone, but please do not change, alter, or charge for it. If you have any questions about anything, please submit them by going to our website at www.fbchenderson.org and then click on the I'm New link on the homepage. And please join us next week right here on WSON as we continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe, people, and nation. May God's blessings be upon you from Henderson's First Baptist Church.